one of the founding principals of Tetragon Financial Group. I'd like to welcome you today to our investor call. We'll focus on first quarter 2008 results and provide an update on progress to date. Format of the call will be as follows. Phil Bland, the CFO for both Polygon and Tetragon, will present Tetragon's Q1 2008 results, as well as report on our quarterly dividend announcement. I'll provide an overview on our portfolio and key performance metrics, and Jeff Herlin, also a founding principal of Tetragon, will provide a market outlook and discuss opportunities for Tetragon. As usual, I'd like to remind everyone that the following contains forward-looking comments, including statements regarding the intentions, beliefs, or current expectations concerning performance and financial condition on the products and markets in which TFG invests. Our performance may change materially as a result of various possible events or factors. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Phil Bland, our CFO.
Thanks very much, David, and welcome everyone. As in previous quarterly calls, I'll focus my comments on the performance of our consolidated business, and that covers Tetragon Financial Group Limited, or TFG, our Euronext-listed company, Tetragon Financial Group LP, our U.S. feeder, and Tetragon Financial Group Master Fund Limited, which actually holds the investments. TFG currently owns 94% of the combined business, which is unchanged from our last investor call. I'm pleased to report that Tetragon's business has performed well during the first quarter of 2008. Income and cash flow generation continue to be strong, and earnings per share remain stable throughout the quarter. You may have had a chance to see that the unaudited U.S. GAAP statements of operations for the individual entities that were posted to our website yesterday use Q1 2007 as the comparative period. At that time, which was prior to our IPO, TFG had fewer investments and about 30% lower net assets. For the purposes of this call, and also for our consolidated results in the quarterly report, we focus on more recent quarters, which we feel provide a more meaningful comparison. Earnings per share in the first quarter of 2008 were $0.36, which were basically in line with EPS of $0.37 in Q3 2007 and $0.38 in Q4 2007, excluding the write-down, which we've reported on earlier. Our core business, focused entirely now on CLOs, has held up extremely well coming into 2008. Top line consolidated revenues of $58 million were generated this quarter, which was marginally lower than the Q4 figure of $59.6 million. This partly reflected slightly lower IRRs, plus a small reduction in TFG corporate leverage, and was also influenced by a fall in the interest rate earned on cash deposits. Leverage is going to be covered in more detail by David later in the call, and I'll turn now to the topic of the deal IRRs. As we stated before, we review and recalibrate the assumptions used to generate the IRRs on our portfolio on a monthly basis. One input to the IRR calculation is the forward LIBOR curve, and despite the reduction of three-month LIBOR by approximately 200 basis points over the quarter from 4.7% to 2.7%, the weighted average IRR on TFG's portfolio was at 16% at the end of March 2008, slightly down on 16.6% at the end of Q4 2007. We believe the relative stability of our IRRs, despite those declining LIBOR rates, was partially attributable to the gradual improvement of effective yields in our underlying loan portfolio, which is made possible by reinvestment at wider spread levels and/or at lower prices. Obviously, defaults and losses incurred in the underlying collateral are also key inputs to the IRR calculation, and these are going to be discussed further by David in the portfolio section. Operating expenses, excluding incentive fees, fell quarter-on-quarter by 13%, and this was mostly as a result of a reduction in repo borrowings and the all-in rate at which they were financed. Moving on to the realized and unrealized gains section of the statement of operations, about $9.5 million of gains were generated through credit hedging and FX during the quarter. This more than offset the unrealized loss of $9 million on the investment portfolio, which reflected the impact of the reduction in weighted average IRR to 16%, which I explained a moment ago. Turning to incentive fees, the Q1 incentive fee of $2.4 million was calculated using an 8% hurdle rate and after recouping the Q4 loss of $0.11 per share. should note that from Q2 2008 onwards, the 8% hurdle rate will be replaced by a LIBOR-based calculation, as was explained in the 2007 annual report. And the new hurdle rate for Q2 2008 has now been fixed at 5.3316%. Coming to the end of the statement of operations, our net income after incentive fees was $45.9 million for the quarter, and as I mentioned before, that's the equivalent of 36 cents per share. Another important metric for TFG, of course, is its cash generation. The $74 million of cash generated by the portfolio in Q1 exceeded income accrued by about $18 million. This was the continuation of a positive trend started in the previous quarter, and this trend is continuing into Q2 2008. With a strong performance, our net assets increased from $1.26 billion to almost $1.29 billion during the period, reflecting both strong performance but also offset by the dilutive impact of the payout of the Q4 dividend in March 2008. I'd now like to turn to our Q1 2008 dividend announcement. In line with previous quarters, the Board of Directors considered both the performance of the company on a net income basis and the cash generated by the investment portfolio in deciding to approve a dividend payment of $0.15 per share with respect to Q1, and that's consistent with the previous three quarters. Going forward, we'd expect to continue to pay quarterly dividends consistent with the level of earnings and cash flow growth, both of which are performing well. Investors will continue to have the opportunity to receive their Q1 dividend either fully or partially in the form of TFG shares rather than cash through TFG's optional stock dividend program. The conversion ratio will be published to the website on the 30th of April. An election should be made in the usual way by the 8th of May. Again, full details will be on our website. So to summarise this section, despite the continuation of a very challenging market environment since the start of the year, the management team and board of directors are delighted to have delivered stable results for the quarter in terms of income, net assets and cash flow, enabling TFG to maintain the level of dividend payments to shareholders. So with that, I'd like to pass it over to David to comment on TFG's portfolio and its risk profile.
Great. Thanks, Bill. At present, our portfolio consists of 61 performing investments with a fair value of approximately $1.45 billion invested 100% in CLO transactions. These 61 distinct CLOs are spread across 32 different collateral managers. Our CLO portfolio continues to be diversified across underlying asset classes and geographies, with approximately 61% of risk capital invested in CLOs with primary exposure to the U.S. broadly syndicated senior secured loans, 24% in CLOs with primary exposure to European broadly syndicated senior secured loans, and 15% in CLOs with primary exposure to the U.S. middle market senior secured loan segment. On a look-through basis, Tetragon's exposure to leveraged loans and high-yield assets totals approximately $17.7 billion, underpinned by $1.29 billion of permanent equity capital. This equates to an approximate effective Tier 1 ratio of 7.3%, in line with commercial banks. Tetragon's exposure is diversified across 1,700 distinct corporate obligors. Overall, 82% of our exposure is in U.S. obligations, with 18% of our exposure residing in European names. At present, we consider Tetragon to be in a fully invested position, which allows us to be discriminating investors. We are currently running minimal portfolio leverage of 1.09 times, that's 9%. Notwithstanding the company's reduced leverage, returns may be relatively unaffected or even improve if loan spreads remain stable or widen further. We believe that the present approach of accumulating cash and or paying down outstanding financing is a prudent one, especially as we continue to seek appropriate investments both in the primary and or secondary markets. As previously mentioned, we continue to reduce overall corporate leverage. down from 1.13 times to 1.09 at the end of Q1. And in this current environment, we've been able to maintain returns with a reduced risk profile. As of the end of Q1 2008, net borrowings, that's defined as total borrowings less cash and amounts due from our counterparties, were approximately $153 million. This is down from approximately $186 million at the end of 2007. We have financing documents in place with several counterparties and continue to reduce borrowings with our counterparties over the coming quarters. In regards to defaults, institutional loan defaults increased in Q1 2008 after a benign 2007. According to S&P, 13 institutional loans defaulted during the quarter, increasing the lagging 12-month default rate by principal amount to 1.1%. Tetragon's lagging 12-month corporate loan default rate by comparison ended the quarter at 0.8%, 28% below market default rates. We expect to continue this market outperformance trend for a variety of reasons, including the fact that we believe our loan portfolio managers, through varying credit cycles, have tended to outperform the market averages and will continue to do so. Another measure we track closely is net loss reserves. Through Q1 2008, our excess loss reserves increased, with approximately $116 million of these loss reserves having been factored into our IRR calculations as at 31st of March 2008. At the end of 2007, excess loss reserves were approximately $106 million. These excess net loss reserves are CLO specific, and the total figure of $116 million represents the aggregate sum of these reserves experienced in the underlying loan portfolios of each CLO. Our exposure to covenant-lite loans is approximately 15.4%, well below the 35% new issue levels that were prevalent early in 2007. This percentage has declined over time as managers reinvest surplus cash and prepay assets in loan product with firmer covenants and better structural protection. Exposure to second lien loans is approximately 6% and below the CLO norm of approximately 10 to 15%. We continue to deploy single name hedges to mitigate concentration and watch list exposure. At present, no single net exposure is above 82 basis points of total loan assets. We are also using the high yield index as an overall macro hedge to cushion us from jump to default risk. Short positions on the credit indices were largely responsible for our hedging gains for the quarter. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Jeff to take us through the market outlook.
Thanks, Dave. An environment of rising defaults and wider asset spreads is one that we envisioned we could encounter when we set up Tetragon, and that is one of the reasons we intended to be a permanent capital company from the onset. We therefore believe that Tetragon is well positioned among its peer group heading into a down credit cycle. While institutional bank loan defaults increased during the first quarter, they remain below the historical average. Loan market prices firmed slightly toward the end of the quarter, but we believe continue to imply significantly higher than average levels of defaults, due in part to technical pressures resulting from forced selling of bank and capital markets financed mark-to-market vehicles that were hit price triggers during the first quarter. It's worth reiterating that TFG's CLOs have a long-term, non-recourse, non-mark-to-market financing, which mitigates from the risk of this type of forced selling and affords our managers the opportunity to purchase loans at arguably artificially depressed prices. Going forward, we believe loan defaults will continue to increase as the U.S. and European economies slow further. Our investors often ask how TFG will perform through a down credit cycle. While it is difficult to predict how any strategy will perform in the future, we often highlight that our primary risk exposure includes, among other risks, being naturally long default risk and short credit spreads. I will illustrate by an example in a moment the impact this mix of risk exposure may have on future performance. TFG's ability to weather a higher default environment is affected by various factors, including the following. 1. Reinvestment spreads. Given our investment, long-term locked-in financing of LIBOR plus 50 basis points, cash arising within our portfolios that is reinvested by our managers at levels higher than our current long-term assumption of LIBOR plus 265 basis points improves our returns and or our ability to absorb higher than projected default rates. Currently, loan reinvestment yields are in the LIBOR plus 450 area. As a hypothetical example, assuming a 20% underlying loan asset turnover rate and all other assumptions held constant, reinvestment at LIBOR plus 450 would add 37 basis points to the aggregate portfolio yield on an annual basis. During year one, this higher reinvestment yield would result in the ability to absorb an increase of 37 basis points of additional losses or put into default terms an additional 1.2% default per annum, assuming a 70% recovery rate, above and beyond the historical default rate we already project. By the end of year two, using the same assumptions, the average portfolio yield would increase by 74 basis points to LIBOR plus 339, giving TFG the ability to absorb an incremental 74 basis points of losses or an additional 2.4 per annum defaults. Once 100% of the portfolio turned over using the same assumptions, TFG would be able to absorb 185 basis points of incremental losses or an incremental 6.2 defaults per year. This example illustrates the positive impact that current reinvestment yields may have upon TFG's ability to perform through a higher default environment. 2. Life-to-date loan net loss reserves. Life-to-date net loss reserves compare the actual amount of losses in a specific CLO versus the projected level of losses at our assumed default rates. These reserves totaled $116 million at the end of the quarter, further increasing TFG's ability to absorb higher than forecasted future defaults. Hedging strategy. We continue to hedge our loan exposure through an active micro and macro hedging strategy. On a micro basis, we manage our individual credit concentration through the use of single name credit default swap protection and manage our macro default risk by implementing specific index trades to protect against a high sustained default environment. And lastly, manager performance. We believe each of our managers have been selected in part for their historical and future ability to outperform their peer group and the aggregate market. As such, given their experience, over the long term, we would look for our managers to contain portfolio losses to below the market average. Turning to the macro CLO market. CLO issuance has declined significantly from its rapid pace in 2007. This slowdown is, we believe, primarily the result of a decrease in demand from the debt tranches of CLOs. This decline in demand, in our view, is mostly attributable to the stress experienced by structured vehicle buyers and other highly leveraged investors in subprime and other mortgage-related investments. Going forward, we would expect CLO issuance to stabilize closer to historic 2001 and 2002 levels, which were characterized by debt tranche demand from real money buyers, i.e. non-structured vehicle investors. On the investment front, we anticipate a relatively quiet second quarter as we look to reduce our borrowings with retained earnings to reduce corporate leverage and strengthen our balance sheet. We continue to monitor the secondary and new issue market for value and may selectively deploy some funds in an opportunistic manner. We believe that many investors in the structured credit space that do not have the luxury of permanent capital could potentially be forced to reduce positions, which in turn could lead to value opportunities for TFG. In our continuing quest to broaden investor awareness, TFG presented at Morgan Stanley's European Banks Conference on April 1st in London, and we will be presenting at several investment bank financial institution conferences during the second quarter. namely Merrill Lynch's conference on May 2nd in London and UBS on May 14th in New York. We appreciate your listening. Please do not hesitate to contact us with any questions. We look forward to speaking with you in the future, and this will conclude our call for the day.